Welcome to the Verbal Motivation Podcast, where we talk about the things that motivate our lives, our religion, and our relationships. My name is Nathan Vail. If you have an opinion about the subject matter in today's podcast, please leave it in a voicemail at 530-876-4153, or you can send me an email to verbalmotivation@gmail.com. This is episode number 23, called Casting the First Stone. I would like to talk about a tough subject today, quite possibly the hardest commandment ever inflicted on mankind. And yet, because of its difficulty, it yields incredible spiritual benefit. I'm talking about forgiving others who have offended us. I met someone once who told me that they could not forgive another person because they were wronged by that person. When I heard that, I thought to myself, what other scenario is there? Is it possible for there to be a need to forgive someone that did not wrong you? Imagine if we alter the Savior's commandment to say, forgive, unless you are wronged. The need to forgive only comes in one way. Someone wrongs us, and then we make a conscious decision to forgive them. There are very real offenses in this life, as well as some frivolous ones. But the effect on us, when we hold anger towards another person, is the same in either case. The Savior's words on this issue are clear. Love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. But this is not a one-sided commandment. What we gain from forgiving others is greater than can be described, and is much larger than just the act itself. I was told once by someone that smoked their whole life how much better food tasted after they stopped smoking. That is because smoke can dull the senses of taste and smell over time. When someone quits smoking, their taste buds and sense of smell often start to recover. Similarly, if we carry anger or hatred through our lives, it diminishes our ability to enjoy life because our other senses have been dulled. President Nelson taught, quote, "Not forgiving others is poison for us. Grudges weigh us down. Angry disagreements separate us. Animosity and hatred can divide families," unquote. To be clear, I'm not saying that we aren't justified in being angry or even offended. People do things that hurt other people, intentionally or otherwise. But the personification of freedom to choose is that we ultimately can decide what our response will be. When I was in junior high school, I played on the volleyball team. Every Wednesday was game day, and our coach had us wear ties to school. I was skinny and awkward at that age, and volleyball was not a particularly popular sport. There was a football player in my art class that I'll call John, who loved to make fun of me and never more than on Wednesdays. My art teacher would often leave us working on a project and be gone the rest of the class period. One Wednesday, John pulled me by my tie to the front of the class and choked me with it until tears welled up in my eyes. Needless to say, hatred began to fill my young heart towards this person. I found myself hoping that misfortune would befall him in life so I could have my revenge. I once heard a quote from Joseph Smith that I love but was unable to find today. But as I remember it, he said that he was unwilling to curse his enemies for fear that they might repent someday. Many years ago, I was flying from California to Utah with my fiancé and her friend. On the flight, her friend had an asthma attack, and by some mistake, her inhaler was in her bag that got checked under the plane. By the time we landed, her situation was serious, and other planes had been diverted so that we could land quicker. They rushed us off the plane to the waiting EMTs. As I stood there watching her rescuers, I couldn't believe my eyes when I realized that one of the EMTs was John, the bully from my junior high school class. When she was restored to normal breathing, and as they prepared to wheel her away, I looked at him and I said, "Hi, John." He looked up at me with a priceless look of surprise, amazed that I knew his name. My moment had arrived. I had grown taller. I was larger and successful in every way. He was here in public, and with it my chance to tell him what a jerk he is and shame him in front of his coworkers. I would not even have had to think about the words because I had practiced them in my mind as a youth. But I couldn't, because all my hatred had suddenly become guilt. I couldn't believe it as I watched this person that I had hated for so long appeared to have changed. He appeared to be kind and was certainly a professional. Suddenly, I was all alone amid the crowd of onlookers, realizing that the hatred I had carried all that time was for naught. What a blessing it was for me that day to briefly cross paths with him again, just long enough to realize that Joseph Smith was right. People change. What if my youthful wish had come true and some misfortune had befallen him at my request? Perhaps this is why the Lord says, quote, "I, the Lord, will forgive whom I will forgive, but of you it is required to forgive all men," unquote. When I lived in the Bible Belt in North Carolina, I heard people say in angry religious disputes, "We will see when we die." I hated that phrase then, but now I feel like it's true. I think when we die, our eyes will be open, just like it says in 1 Corinthians 13:12. And just like what happened to me, we will realize that our hatred was self-administered poison. I'm not saying that every offender is going to change, or even needs to. I'm saying that the reason or justification for our hatred does not change the fact that love and hatred cannot exist in the same space. I once visited my podiatrist who needed to work on the bottom of my foot, a very sensitive area, as it turns out. He brought out what appeared to me to be a cow needle full of anesthetic. He began spraying something cold on what would be the injection site on my foot. I became nervous at the sight of the needle and, out of pure need for distraction, said something like, "Isn't it amazing how cold numbs your skin to where you can't feel anything?" I'm not sure if it was a question or a statement. He smiled and said, "It doesn't actually work that way. It's not just that it's cold," he said. "It's that you can only feel one thing at a time. If I overwhelm your nerves with cold, you can't also feel the pain of the needle." What a profound truth that is. In life, I think we can also only feel one thing at a time. If our hearts are filled with hatred, it numbs all of our other feelings. In addition, anger and hatred have a tendency to multiply and we become like a chain smoker, except with anger. But the dulling effect is the same. When the adulterous woman was brought before Jesus, he didn't make a case to the Pharisees that they were wrong about her and she had committed no crime. He said, quote, "He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone." And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one. And Jesus said unto her, "Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee?" She said, "No man, Lord." And Jesus said unto her, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." Unquote. It is simply not our place to judge in this life, and harboring ill will is a form of judging. President Nelson taught the following in an Easter message.
The Savior's counsel is clear. If ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Forgiving others does not mean condoning sinful or criminal behavior, and it certainly does not mean staying in abusive situations. But when we choose to forgive others, we allow the Lord to remove the poison from our souls. We permit Him to soothe and soften our hearts so we can see others, especially those who have wronged us, as children of God and as our brothers and sisters. My dear friends, I invite you prayerfully to consider if there is someone whom you should forgive. Will you free yourself from a grudge you may be harboring? I can think of no more fitting way to honor the Lord Jesus Christ this Easter. I promise that as you forgive, the Savior will relieve you of anger, resentment, and pain. The Prince of Peace will bring you peace.
Each of us will have the chance in this life to forgive another person. We should do so freely, because the hardest things we are asked to do will yield the greatest spiritual benefits. President Gordon B. Hinckley said that forgiveness may be the greatest virtue on earth. I would add that it yields one of the greatest spiritual benefits. Alexander Pope said it best, "To err is human, to forgive is divine." My name is Nathan Vail, and this is the Verbal Motivation Podcast.